Are we ready for launch?
We are ready to take off.
Here we go. The top business stories of the week are in cranes, as usual, and Frank Sennett is here to bring them to us. You have a new title over there, don't you, Frank? Some new responsibilities?
Yeah, you know, I fooled them, I guess, but director of custom media as well as director of digital strategy.
You know, I like a guy who has two titles and neither one of which you can understand.
What is it? The director of custom media?
Yeah, so if you, for instance, wanted to start Bob and Marianne Monthly and didn't want to, you know, stay in this building for the production of it, come down to me and I'll produce that for you.
All right. We'll be there at 3:05 today. In the current issue of Cranes, one of the most interesting pieces I read was about hotel restaurants. And I've often wondered about this. There are some great restaurants in this town in hotels, but you don't see them from the street. And they really have, I mean, the restaurant business is chancy enough, but running one of these places in a hotel, there are extra problems. Talk about this.
Yeah, especially in the winter. Well, some of my favorite restaurants downtown have this issue. Travel, which is new in the Langham, and then across the street, 16 in Trump Tower. You know, you have to go through a lobby. You have to find the right bank of elevators. There's not signage on the street that will really be easy for you to find. So restaurateurs who are in these hotel spaces are trying a variety of techniques to try to drum up business. For instance, they are teaming up with celebrity chefs in other markets. You see that a lot. And then the Waldorf Astoria here and other hotels in the city are pairing up with really well-known restaurant companies like Brandon Sodikoff's Hog Salt Hospitality is going to be working with Waldorf Astoria. That's one way to do it. Other way to do it is, you know, I think be on the ground floor. Nico Osteria is in a hotel, but you don't think of it as a hotel restaurant. You think of it as a street-level restaurant.
Is the biggest problem that they can't be seen from the street?
I think so. And some people say, you know, maybe it's intimidating. You go into this big hotel lobby and, you know, it's not casual and laid back enough for lunch. So, for instance, David Burke's Prime House is trying to do a more casual lunch in the James there. And again, they're accessible from the street. All these restaurants are great restaurants. And I just think it's hard enough when you're at street level that when you're, you know, unless you're Heaven on 7 in the Garland building, which
seven.
Is packed every day.
It's packed every day. Yeah.
I love that place.
That is the
well,
most
the other,
amazing
the other problem
place.
That hotels have is they're catering to their guests. And so they have to be open late in many cases, and that may not be conducive to a big profit margin.
That's true. And then, you know, so you're seeing some hotels like the Four Seasons here turn the Seasons restaurant into an event space, you know, because you just can't maybe keep it packed in with locals.
But back to Heaven on 7, that's a place that is not even in a hotel. It's not even like
it's
in
cash.
The lobby.
It's cash only. It's not
it's
a
on
hotel.
The seventh floor.
It's hard to find, and yet
it is packed.
There's a man. He should consult. Jimmy should consult. Jimmy Banos, you guys' his friend, should consult with hotels around town. Here's how to make it work.
Another interesting story in Cranes this week is about the Derrick Rose jerseys making a comeback. This is really a big business today, isn't it?
It's funny. We're a fickle fan base. Apparently, because when Derrick Rose was injured, his jersey fell out of the top 10 into 12th place, which is the lowest rank of his career in terms of sales. So, yeah, no, it's not just triple doubles that they're tracking. They're also tracking sales. This year, he's back on the court. He's you know, getting his groove back, and he is number 5 in jerseys. LeBron James, number 1. Stephen Curry with Golden State Warriors. Kevin Durant and Kobe Bryant are 1, 2, 3, and 4. So he's in pretty good company, and you know, get another MVP under his belt, and he could be like Mike again.
I guess the Bulls, largely as a result of Rose's second comeback, are now second among all the NBA teams, all 30 teams, in apparel sales. And that's the highest they've been in about 3 years or so. And they count on that money, don't they?
Absolutely. And the further you get into June, too, you know, once you hit the playoffs and you're going to go to the game, you're going to watch it at a bar, maybe you want to suit up and wear that. and there's a hotel restaurant thing. You know, Michael Jordan's down the block. You get Michael Jordan in your hotel, maybe that's a good thing, too.
That
that's a fine
be.
Example of a place that – it would never occur to me I mean, to go as often as I do to Michael Jordan's restaurant, but it's such a street level, that's so convenient.
That doesn't
a
have
great
the
place
problems.
To
that doesn't have the problems
no,
of those
saying,
hotel restaurants.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, if only
it's
we could,
because
could
it's
be
on street level. Yeah.
So we'll do a Derrick Rose down the street, a Gasol restaurant up at the Hyatt. All bulls all the time.
What's happening downtown with this this mall owner, this shopping mall owner who seems to be buying up properties?
Yeah, so General Growth Properties is a big national mall owner, and it's based here in Chicago. And the CEO is buying up inner downtown, very high-end, expensive properties, expanding mall footprints more to downtown like we see on North Michigan Avenue and other cities in Chicago. In fact, he recently was part of a venture plunking down $1.8 billion for the Crown Building near Central Park in New York City, and that has 50,000 square feet of retail space. So you can imagine what the rents are going to be like there to turn a profit on that. But they are, you know, that's a trend now. They're transforming the company. You've got, you know, big, giant malls in a lot of places are sitting semi-vacant. They're not the destinations they used to be. There's only so many accessories Claire can sell. And so, you know, they want to go where the high-end consumers are. And the move, you know, has been condos, downtown areas, luxury shopping.
The suburban indoor malls are having the hardest time, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, you've got companies, the big companies like Sears that are having trouble are the ones that are anchor tenants for a lot of these malls.
Frank Senna, Crane Chicago Business, will continue to talk about, among other things, Chicago's new grocery deliverers, and we'll get to that momentarily, and also the Manilow contest. Talking about the stories in Crane Chicago Business currently with Frank Sennett and a startup company that I've never heard of. Tell me about Instacart, Frank.
Yeah, so Instacart, I don't know if you remember around 2000, 2001 during dot-com 1.0, they had this company called Webvan that was going to deliver groceries, and it was valued at, you know, $1 billion, and then a year later it was gone.
Yeah.
Well, they're back, the grocery delivery tech services, right now Webvan is one of the big ones, along with Artisan in Chicago. And what they do is buy from established markets and just coordinate the pickup and the delivery. Now, there are other services like Peapod, which is based in Skokie. They have their own warehouse of food, and they pull from that like an Amazon model. Speaking of Amazon, Amazon and Walmart are both getting into grocery delivery. So we've got kind of a gold rush. I don't know if it's a bubble or not. You know, maybe we need 16, you know, grocery delivery services.
It's very funny that you're talking about this today, because just last night I was thinking, oh, you know, I hate carrying those gigantic bottles of Tide or whatever it is from the grocery store. Why not have Amazon deliver it for me? So I went on Amazon, and now they have a new thing called like the Prime Pantry or something like that, where you get to fill up an entire box for if you're a Prime member, which you already have to pay for.
Right.
And then you get to pay $5.99 to fill up this box to have it delivered with your pantry items. And it just seems to me like it's an outrageous cost.
Well, I mean, it depends on the convenience versus the cost. So if you're willing to, you know, work out your biceps and carry that tied up the stairs, then it may not be worth it to you. But they're banking on the fact that enough people are, you know, feeling comfortable in their, you know, climate controlled environs in the winter that they'll hit Peapod, they'll hit Artisan and Webvan and get the delivery. And so two of the places are here in the Chicago area, but they're national in scope. And we're one of the first markets outside of the Silicon Valley for a lot of these companies, and so there's a real gold rush mentality.
And you knew this was going to happen, the business of legalized marijuana, a lot of folks looking at that as an opportunity to make some money. Talk about that, Frank.
Yeah, so one of the things about the Illinois law and a lot of states' laws for medical marijuana is they put very tight restrictions on where you can locate the dispensaries. They don't want them near schools. They don't want them near churches. Residential areas, et cetera. So there's a startup that is going to help entrepreneurs who want to start medical marijuana businesses find a location. So it's a real estate startup to help budding, so to speak, pot moguls open their storefront. So that, and they're two Chicago entrepreneurs, and the startup is called Herbfront.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going to help people who want to start marijuana selling stores mm-hmm. find space.
Yeah, so they are looking at the zoning regulations using, you know, Google Maps and other technology probably, and they're also looking at zoning restrictions as being one of the founders says 95% of properties aren't zoned correctly. So I guess they'll be helping maybe with some of that red tape.
But if it's not legalized here, why is it starting already? I mean, are people really going to rent space for if maybe it happens?
Well, I mean, the licenses were on Governor Quinn's desk, and he punted to Rauner, right? So I think that these guys, when they were starting it up, were assuming that the licensing would already be issued at this point. And now Rauner's got questions about the process. So the new governor may hold it up a while longer. Yeah, we'll see if, maybe they can chill out in some way while they wait for the licenses to be issued.
Maybe it won't happen under Rauner.
Yeah. They need to be mellow. I don't know how they could do that. But
some of those hotel restaurants having trouble should open up marijuana shops.
There you go. We solved the world.
That's how you get them in the building.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then they can, take care of the munchies mm-hmm. in the restaurant.
It's like Baker Square, come for the food, stay for the pie.
Yeah,
it's
now
like,
they'll be hungry.
Come for the pot, stay for the pot pie.
Frank Sennett, Crane Chicago Business. Let's see. Head of Custom Media and Digital Strategy. There you go.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Frank. Just go with czar. It's 12:27. Hashtags, likes, and shares. That's Scott Kleinberg's department from the So Social column in the Chicago Tribune. And I've been waiting for you to come in all day, Scott, so we could talk about this story that's in the paper today and in the news about a study that gives detailed, sort of a detailed snapshot of men who post and edit selfies.
Yes, apparently men who post and edit selfies are...
egomaniacs.
egomaniacs have more more cases of narcissism and psychopathy and all kinds of just crazy things.
Why
and
men?
I don't know why there's just specifically talking about men. That's the thing that drove me crazy. I immediately saw this story. The first thing I did was take a selfie of myself with this very, very disapproving face, and I posted it with the story, and I said my reaction, and I got a lot of retweets.
It was
Ohio State University that did this study. I'm not sure why they did. But they did.
And they released this on the same day that all the craziness happened at Ohio State with all the burnings of fires and all that stuff. And it was just a whole crazy
thing. I just for work purposes, I follow Kim Kardashian on Instagram.
By the way,
if anybody's interested, I am at Havana Girl on Instagram. Okay. And I'm usually not posting pictures of myself, but they're usually pictures of stuff, the bonus material. But.
Yes.
Kim Kardashian posts so many pictures of herself all day long, and they are – every time I look at it, I think this is all she must do.
Yep.
Is just take pictures of herself, edit them, and put them on Instagram.
Well, she's making money for it, though.
Well,
often it's about a product she's wearing, using.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe then she is not a good example because she's doing it to make money.
But I think the difference the difference between somebody like me and Kim Kardashian is people actually want to see a photo of Kim Kardashian. Me, it's very hard for me to get a retweet of my selfie.
Yeah, some do. But I guess in this study, they looked at men between 18 and 40.
Yep.
And it's no surprise what these findings were.
But I think the telling part is that they make a differential between people who post selfies and people who spend a lot of time editing their photos. So if you're really, really concerned with how you look and if you have a blemish or something like that, then that's a concern. Me, if I take a selfie, I take whatever it looks like, and I go on from there.
Not me. If I take a picture of somebody and they have a big blemish on their face, I erase it.
Wow.
Because
you're a nice person.
Well, it's unkind to post a picture of somebody Because, you know, people now can zoom in and see all
That's
sorts
true.
Of things.
That's
it's just
very,
not
very true.
Kind.
Meanwhile, over at the University of Missouri, they took a look at people who can't live without their smartphones. People like Marianne, for example. what do we know about those folks?
Apparently, there is a real separation anxiety. If you're separated from your phone, it can have psychological effects on. They specifically looked at iPhone users, but it can have psychological effects, including poor performance on daily activities, cognitive tests. It could actually really affect you, and you know. I don't know that I actually fall into this camp, but I do know that if I leave my phone at home, I go back and get it. And I know a lot of people that, you know, say, oh, I went to work without my phone. Never happened. I don't care how cold it is. I'm going back.
It's true. I think I would definitely be a victim of whatever it is that you get.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just I cannot possibly live without it. And now there's a real thing behind it.
And we should understand our kids better because I understand why, you know, my daughter freaks out completely. If she left
we're raising them that way, and we're the models. Prince so William true. And Kate have an official Twitter account. And,
yes, they do.
Who knows who's really operating it, I guess. But what's on it?
It definitely doesn't look like it's them. It looks like it's their camp because it basically says, for more about Prince William and Kate. So it looks like it's written from that different angle. Mm-hmm. But they had 6,500 followers this morning after 1 hour. It just came out today. They had 40,000 after 6 hours. I think they're up to close to 50,000 or something like that now. There's lots of photos. They definitely understand the power of visuals, so that's good. And they're showing events that are happening, you know, in London. So it looks like a pretty good use of social media.
Yeah, it's the bonus material.
There you go.
Yes, it is. And we know it's them because they have the verified checkmark, which is very, very important these days.
A couple of stories about Facebook. Let's get into this. First, the Amber Alerts.
Yeah, Amber Alerts are coming to Facebook. And there was kind of an outcry about this yesterday because people were really concerned about the fact that an Amber Alert is going to show up in your news feed. People were saying, well, what happens if I don't tell them where I am? I don't have my location turned on. This is something that's very much like the way the Amber Alerts work on your cell phone. You kind of get them no matter what if you're in an area where it is. But then they came out yesterday and they basically tried to say you're not going to see these very often at all. This is going to be very, very specialized circumstance where their quote was, if you're in a position to actually help find this person, we're going to show it to you in your newsfeed. So I'm guessing they can pretty much track it really close to where it is and hopefully it helps. It's not going to ring an alert on your phone. It's just going to show up in your feed.
That would be good. And what's Facebook at Work all about?
So Facebook at Work is this weird thing. It's Facebook's attempt. It's a slow launch, but it's their attempt to get into the workplace. So kind of picture a chat program, LinkedIn, and Facebook all rolled into one. They want you to have a familiar interface and a way to talk to your colleagues all at once. But it's not tied to your regular Facebook in any way. So it's not in your news feed. It's different. You can be a different password if you want. But they want it to be this familiar way of using stuff when you're around the office.
Okay, but how does it separate itself from your personal account, or is it using your personal account?
It's a completely separate app. It's totally unrelated to your personal. So that's what they're promising.
So it's Facebook at Work. That means that it's like our show page, which is Surratt and Marciano. Is that what you're saying?
But no. It wouldn't have anything to do even with your brand page. This is a way for you guys, for example, to sit and have a chat with each other online or talk to other employees around the area.
So it's kind of like a chat room.
It's a chat room that looks like Facebook. Their point is everything that you use should be familiar and should look like Facebook. So they want to make a version of where it's something completely different. So it's totally different from your brand page and your fan page.
There was a sort of an embarrassing mistake made by someone on BlackBerry's social media team.
Oh, I love this.
What did they do?
They tweeted from the Twitter account, and it says at the bottom where the tweet comes from. So it said something about BlackBerry, and then it said tweet from Twitter for iPhone.
So somebody who works for BlackBerry
is tweeting not on the BlackBerry app, which is supposed to be amazing, from an iPhone. And they quickly deleted it. But in this day and age, as we always say, somebody is always there to take a screenshot. And I have no reason to believe that you would want to take a screenshot of the BlackBerry account. But someone did. And they caught it. And it says for iPhone. I'm all for making things easy. But if you're working for BlackBerry, you should probably be using a BlackBerry.
Oops.
Yes.
Yep.
And this this deal where you can find out where the Bulls followers are, for example, in the country,
yeah,
or any NBA
really
team. Is this going to apply to all sports?
Yeah.
Why is the question?
Well, two good questions. Twitter just put this out this morning, their data team department, so it's NBA. I think they will eventually do one for all sports, yes, because I think this is so cool. If you look at it really closely, it's a map and it's separated by county. So you can type in a county, you can type in Cook County and say how many people are actually fans of the Bulls, but you can type in a county or a very specific region in another state and you can find out where the fans are.
But this is not really where the fans are. This is where the fans who have a Twitter account.
Correct.
Are.
Where fans identify. So people who have a Twitter account in Alaska. Apparently there are a lot of Bulls fans in Alaska, according to this finding.
But why does that help anyone? I mean,
I think it's just a snapshot. I don't know that there's
really
a purpose.
What is really the purpose of any of this? Facebook, Twitter?
Like, I don't care
mostly
who's a fan in Alaska.
To waste time.
Do I?
I think it's an interesting snapshot. And you know when it'll come in really handy? It'll come in really handy when the Bulls are playing for the championship and people want to know for their stories, where are Bulls fans? And you just assume they're here, sure. And you assume there's a line between here and, you know, where the teams are
so
in Milwaukee and that kind of thing. But I certainly think it'll help reporters. But it's just an interesting okay. thing to look at if you see there are Bulls fans in Montana. Well, why? But there are.
Yeah, because of Michael Jordan, there are Bulls fans all over the world.
That's very, very true. And I think it'll be cool for all sports to see, you know, where the fans are actually hanging out.
Yeah. Cub Nation and so forth.
Yes.
Scott Kleinberg, the So Social column in the Chicago Tribune. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you
Scott.
Both.
Sarah and Marciano rolling along with you, our business lunch hour, and let's meet someone who we call soon to be famous. He has run a restaurant up on the north side for a long time, Rub's Backcountry Smokehouse, Jared Leonard, who's about to open up a new business. Jared, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me.
First, the restaurant that's been around for about 5 years up on Western Avenue, 6954 Northwestern, Rub's Backcountry Smokehouse. It seems that you got into this at the right time because barbecue is sort of hot right now, isn't it?
It is, and it's a food that's been popular for a long time. I would say that about 7 to 10 years ago, it became trendy. So it's fun to ride that wave, but I like to say that even when barbecue is not trendy anymore, it's still going to be popular.
Yeah, because people always love barbecue. And I'm always intrigued by the rubs because the rubs that are put – I never even knew that that's what they were called. And they just totally change the flavor and almost bread the barbecue, right, and keep it moist.
Right, and I think the main education of Chicagoans in dry rub barbecue has come from us thinking that barbecue was all about barbecue sauce.
Right.
You know, for years – Sweet Baby Ray's is a local brand that was founded here in Chicago, and most Chicago-style barbecue is covered in sauce, but real Southern barbecue has very little to do with sauce. It's about smoke and meat and dry rub. So Chicagoans are just learning that. I actually teach classes 3 times a week in my restaurant next door. We have a space built out for it. So that's I like to consider myself not just a barbecue restaurant owner, but a barbecue evangelist.
And what I love about the rubs is that you actually get to taste what the meat tastes like a lot better than when it's smothered in a sauce.
Right. The rub is brings out the flavor of the meat. It complements the smoke flavor that you get from cooking with wood. And we do this all the old-fashioned way. We cook with 100% wood fire, one of the only places in town that does this. I mean, there are stacks of logs in the pit room next to my smoker. It's not – no gas or electric burners, old-fashioned.
Good for you. And we will soon hear about Jared Leonard's newest venture, the Budlong Pickle Shop. And I know you're going to open this up later this year in the Budlong Woods or Lincoln Square neighborhood. As Larry King would say, why pickles?
Why not? it came out of my desire to be in that neighborhood. There was a space that I had my eye on before we even opened up Rub that became available. It was on the market. It was for rent. And I thought, I'm going to go revisit that and see what they're doing over there. And it's in the Budlong Woods neighborhood. And I went in there, and space was great. A lot of historical charm to it, a great old Chicago building. But I'm established where I am, and I didn't want to open a barbecue restaurant down the street from my current barbecue restaurant. So I started brainstorming for other ideas and came across this story that in the 1800s, 1857 to be exact, there was a farm at the corner of Western and Foster called the Budlong Pickle Farm.
Is that what the history of Lincoln Square with pickling comes down to?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because they only lived here for one generation. Their farm was around from 1857 to 1908. The elevated train tracks were built in the early 1900s, and that inspired people or gave people the desire to want to move further north. And so the land became worth more to developers and home builders than it was as a farm. So they sold their farm. But in that 50 years, they were millionaires. They had amassed this wealth that, from selling beets and cucumbers that they probably never imagined. Though they pickled the vegetables as well. So pickles can be, like I have six jars of pickled vegetables here. None of them are cucumbers. The vegetables that I brought in today.
Well, is that what is being said today that is so healthy, fermented vegetables? Does that qualify as that?
It does. So there's a couple of different ways to pickle. You can fresh pack pickle, which is with vinegar, and that's more of a new modern way of pickling that involves adding vinegar to the vegetables to preserve them. And then there's the old-fashioned way, which is fermenting them, which they've been doing since agriculture started 10,000 years ago. From civilizations from here to Europe, all over the world, they've been fermenting vegetables to preserve them, which is a totally different method than fresh pack.
Is that what you have, the fermenting or the fermented ones or the vinegar?
I do both.
Pickle? Yeah.
I do both. So at Rub, we've got a fresh pack pickle. I like the crispiness, freshness, and tangy vinegar flavor in our fresh pack pickles on the table at Rub. But experimenting with the fermenting, it brings out different flavors in the vegetables that you don't get when you add vinegar to them. And that's what makes them healthier. The fermenting process actually develop lactic acid in the fermenting brine, and that it's vitamin rich, and the vegetables actually become more nutritious after fermenting them than they were when they were raw.
Joining us, I don't know if you read Rob Feeder's column, but WGN has gone all pickle, and this is our new format.
Okay, so then the Budlong Pickle Shop is not about pickles.
It's about
pickles
what
and a
will
lot
people,
more.
When you open up the Budlong Pickle Shop, I walk in there. You're open later this year. Okay, what do I see and what do you sell exactly?
So there's a couple of different elements to the business. The name comes from the story of the farm that was in the area. And then in the restaurant, we're going to be serving the pickled and fermented vegetables and fruits. But then there's a family restaurant attached to it serving what I call farmer food. Fried chicken, pork chops, ham on the bone, buttermilk biscuits. You know, I try to stay away from that farm-to-table cliche that I love, but a lot of farm-to-table, the translation of what the farmers actually ate is totally lost because farm-to-table restaurants tend to be more high-end, where farmers actually ate very simple foods that were not necessarily seasonal. They were pickling and preserving so that they could use their produce year-round, and then they paired it with their calorie and fat-heavy meats.
Well, it's an interesting business proposition, and I'm sure you'll do well with it. Jared Leonard, he runs Rub's Backcountry Smokehouse right now at 6954 Northwestern, and very soon up that way, the Budlong Pickle Shop. And I don't want to get into your marketing, and I understand the history there that you want to associate with Budlong and the neighborhood, but think about calling it Peter Piper's. Just think about it. And come back and see us.
I think his name is way better, Bob.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN with Bob Surratt and Marianne Marciano.
As I was walking in the building, somebody said to me, "Hello, Mr. Grobstein."
Grobstein?
Now, that's a first. I've not been mistaken for Les Grobstein before, the sports guy, who I worked with many years ago, by the way.
Huh.
Usually, sometimes people are mixed up. Bob Stroud
is a good one. Yeah.
And,
you almost fired Fred the intern because he called you Bob Stroud one time years ago. I saved him.
I made Fred the intern a star over at Fox and sent him along along his way, and he's enjoyed a great career as a TV news producer. I used to get, before doing a lot of television, people were mixed up about disc jockeys, and so every once in a while someone would see me and say, Larry Lujack, right? And
But you look nothing like
Larry. Well, but I think they
Lujack
were just mixed
did.
Up. They just thought disc jockey.
Right.
And you, people think you're Rachel Ray.
Do you remember when people would stop me? And I remember being at a party, and a guy comes up to me and says, 30 minutes. I didn't even know what he was talking about.
That's her.
I realized that
was deal,
like
right?
her first show.
Yeah, that's a good pickup line.
Yeah, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I ran into her.
Rachel Ray.
To Rachel Ray. I was at a party, and I'm washing my hands in the bathroom. And at this point, people are telling me nearly every day that I look like Rachel Ray. And I'm washing my hands, and I look up in the mirror after washing my hands. The mirror's right in front of me. And then I look at the mirror right next to me, and I see Rachel Ray's face. That was weird.
Yeah, that was quite a few years ago. Now, I don't think... you get that much.
No, I don't.
And you know why? She doesn't look the same anymore.
No?
I mean, I think she's, just, you know, I think she's tasting many of her own dishes, if you know what I mean.
Oh, come on. That is so mean.
I'm sorry. No, she looks different, though.
She looks great.
She looks.
Don't be mean.
Okay. Let's edit that out when we broadcast the show.
You mean
today.
The part where you called Rachel Ray?
Yes, Steve.
Yes. Yeah, edit that out, please. I don't like meanness.
Shouldn't Walgreens, Subway, and Starbucks just get together and buy one building to save money and share space?
Yeah.
I mean, really, Walgreens, Subway, and Starbucks. Why don't they just
That's funny.
Pool
That's
their resources?
Good idea.
And make deals on buildings. And, you know, every block, there will be a Walgreens, Subway, Starbucks building. And it seems to me it'd be a lot simpler to do business that way.
Yeah.
Just a thought.
I like that.
I have news about our Sarada Murciano mystery name contest. I think we're going to be able to start this next week because I think I have a good name to put in the safe. Now, Marianne is not as convinced yet, but I think if you think about this a while, Marianne, you'll realize
we'll do it.
This is
the
perfect name to go in the safe.
I just think that. Should I say why?
No.
I don't.
Don't give any clues.
Yeah, because that's
The only clues you'll get, really, if you listen, and believe me, it's going to be very difficult to come up with this name. So as you listen, you'll hear people guessing from time to time, and you'll be able to eliminate folks. And maybe along the way...
But we'll never remind you who's been eliminated.
But we'll probably say a thing or two here and there that might be construed as a clue. It's sort of an update on the old Wally Phillips black box bit, only this time we're going to put the name in a safe, which is on display currently here in the Showcase studio, and we thank the folks up in Wakanda for providing the safe, Stack-On Products. It's a very lovely safe. It's very large. Not as heavy as I thought, but it's very large. It's the Elite Executive.
What do you mean not as heavy as you thought?
It's the Elite Executive Fire Resistant Safe. Well, it looks like it would weigh.
Did you try to pick it up?
Looks like it would weigh 10,000 pounds.
Yeah, I saw them bringing it in with three men and a dolly.
Well, it is. Yeah, it is heavy. I thought it was going to be even heavier.
Did you really try to pick it up? Did you?
I tried to slide it. I tried to slide it. The prize, by the way, will be everything the station is giving away on the day the correct name is guessed. So, for example, if we were doing the contest today and somebody guessed, they would get all these gift cards for various restaurants and pizza places we've got. And all the excess swag in our office, a constantly growing pile of books, CDs, DVDs, T-shirts, and hats, they will get that. And also, if you come up with the right name, you win the safe, too, which is worth, like, I think $550 or something like that. So that's how it's going to work. And
that's pretty amazing.
From time to time,
it's a good prize. But, I mean, will somebody be able to guess this?
We will try to send you via ESP the name when you call. And at times we'll take calls for this, and other times we'll be just doing something else, and maybe you'll be on the phone with us, and you can also, before the end of the conversation, say, could I take a crack at the mystery name contest? And we'll do it that way, too. So maybe we'll get it going next week, and when we put the name in the safe, we'll write it on a piece of paper, and only we will know the name, and one of our managers upstairs, I think Todd, will tell him too, so he knows, and we'll videotape the ceremony where the piece of paper, where the 2-inch piece of paper goes into the gigantic safe.
And my idea is that we need to just start getting rid of our stuff now and stick it in the safe.
You mean the swag in the office?
Yeah,
we've got too much. You know, it's not going to fit in that. The safe's large, but all of the prizes, meaning this junk from our office, the extra,
it's not junk,
the
it's extra books and DVDs and T-shirts and hats.
Yeah, the surplus, the gifts and promotional materials that have been sent to us. I don't think it'll fit in there, even though the safe is fairly large.
Well, some of it. I mean, we can get like a big chunk of it out.
Safe is fire rated, by the way, for 30 minutes.
What does that mean?
Could be on fire for 30 minutes. Nothing would happen to the contents.
For 30 minutes? Mm-hmm. And then what? Then it melts?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That does not look like it would last only 30 minutes. That looks like a big, chunky, very... Well, maybe it gets inside, smoke inside.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Anyway,
we need to find out how to open it because
we need to
gone over there. I've tried to like play around with the numbers.
Well, it's very secure. Even we can't open it right now. But we'll figure all that out next week, and then we'll start playing the game. Okay.
Okay.
And think about that name I came up with, Marianne. I think it's a good name. Again, we wanted to put a name in. I think when Wally did this, he put in a very obscure name for some reason. I guess he liked the old Flash Gordon serial, so he put in Gene Rogers, who played Dale Arden. And it's very obscure, very old. We're not going to do that. We're going to put a name in there, and it will be a name. Well, I just want to say it will be a name that people know. I'm not saying it's a living person. I'm not saying it's a dead person. I'm just saying it's not going to be a name that you wouldn't know. And the name will make sense in terms of let me just say this.
You're giving away clues.
No.
Yeah.
Listen, follow me here. It makes sense that we would pick this name. It's not a very obvious reason or connection, but there is one, sort of.
I think you should stop now.
Okay.
And, I mean, if you're going to give away so much information, say why I think that's not a good choice?
I don't know. Will it give away too much about the name if you say why it's not a good choice?
Well, you've already given away
a lot. Will it give away more than what I just did?
Different. Of course I'm not going to repeat what you just said.
Why don't we do it after the break? That way, during the break, you can tell me what you're going to say, and then I'll send...
You'll say yay or nay.
No, I will call up the some people at the University of Chicago and have them rule on it.
Okay.
Find stories that take you further with the new ChicagoTribune.com digitally remastered to fit your device, digitally remastered to fit your life. Now you know what to do now, don't you?
Even now, when there's someone else who cares, when there's someone home.
While you're doing that, Bill has a question about our mystery name contest. Hi, Bill.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Hi, Bill.
Hi. I was wondering if in conversation with a caller, this person's name happens to come up, if they say it, are you going to announce them as the winner?
Well, not if it's not in the context of, I think this is the name in the safe.
What? No. If the person, are you asking, Bill, if the person, if you're talking to the person about something else on the phone, like, for example, you, and then you say, let me try to guess?
No, that's not what he's saying.
What if I don't even say, let me, what if I just say, well, Joe Blow, and Joe Blow is the name?
Oh, no.
But,
no. No, it has to be intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So every caller then should say, oh, by the way.
Well, yeah, well, here's how you would do it. If you're calling for something else, you would say, can I guess the mystery name? And that's how it'll work.
Beautiful.
This contest couldn't be simpler.
All right.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
I think I'm now going to say why I don't like the name that you're thinking about.
Why?
Because I think it's too easy.
No, I don't think so. We don't want to make it. We don't want to make it obscure. We want people. We want it to be accessible.
But it's easy.
Well.
I mean, if
I want somebody to win, the office is filled with all that stuff. We got to get rid of it.
But we went through a lot of trouble to get this safe. I mean, we don't want to have a winner on the first day.
We won't. I guarantee we won't.
Or on the first week.
It's not that easy.
I think it is.
Out of all the names, you people living or dead, come on. Let's see. Let's get Dave on the line here because Dave from Fox Lake was caller 7. Hey, Dave, you did it.
Hey, all right.
The Manilow replay played a little while ago, as we said it would. At 12:18, we announced when we're going to do it. And then if you're the right caller, when we do it, you qualify for the big prize package giveaway. And that's exactly what you did, Dave. And let's see, on Friday, we will randomly select a grand prize winner from all our qualifiers. And if you get picked, you get to go to the United Center February 14th for Barry Manilow's final tour. It's called One Last Time. We'll give you dinner for two and also a lot of merchandise, Manilow CDs and DVDs and all that stuff. Way to go there, Dave.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What are you doing, Fox Lake?
Well, I'm in Mundelein right now working, but... I live in Fox Lake.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a draftsman.
You know what? I want to get one of the tables that you guys use just to read and write at home because I am enjoying standing up these days instead of sitting down. It's easier. It's somehow more comfortable, isn't it?
Sometimes you think better on your feet as well.
You think better on your feet. Exactly. Dave, Marianne's looking at me like I'm nuts right now. I'm sorry. What's that, Dave?
We do everything here in CAD, though, on the computer, so.
Uh-huh.
So and you sit lower, is what you're saying,
that's right?
Right.
You put the computer on your drafting table.
No, not so much.
All right, hold on. We'll get the information we need. And remember, you can get all of the contest rules and details at WGNRadio.com/contests. No purchase necessary. You have to be 18 or older. And a legal resident of Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, or Wisconsin to win. Fox Lake is okay. And we'll do this again tomorrow, won't we? Yes, we'll do this again tomorrow. So if you didn't get in on it today, there is still hope. On our social media, very, very cool picture posted now. And this is a very important day for Marianne. Explain this, Marianne.
Because today is the anniversary of the day that I was born again into this country. Left Cuba, and my parents were 21 and I believe 29. And those were their ages.
And that's you in the picture. You're a baby.
I'm a baby in this picture, yeah. And
Where was the picture taken?
It was taken, my parents were visiting a relative's farm in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
But we were from Havana, and then this is it's a place called Morón.
So on this day, you took off.
No, not on this day, but this is what my parents looked like. This was in Cuba, and this was like a year before we took off.
A year before you took off.
Yeah,
the picture,
about a year,
but on
maybe
this
a year
day,
and a half.
No, but I'm saying on this day you took off.
Yeah, on this day we took off, and so my mom was 21 years old. She had 3 kids. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that? Like our daughter's 25. Like I think of a 21-year-old with 3 children, and.
Our older daughter is 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we, you know, packed a weekend bag because, of course, we were escaping. So we were supposedly coming right back after a weekend in Miami and left everything
You told the authorities you're coming back.
Yeah.
And how did you leave? A small plane?
No, it was like a regular...
a commercial flight to Miami?
It was
Miami?
A TWA flight.
And they let you on because they thought you were coming back. You said you were coming back.
Right. We said we were coming back. So,
which is why you get nervous every time you look outside the studio door, and if you see like somebody smoking a cigar, wearing like a camouflage hat. Yeah, mm-hmm.
They're still waiting for me. Yeah,
to return.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I celebrate January 14th every year. It was January 14th, 1961.
That's your Independence Day.
That's my personal Independence Day. So. Anyway, it's a great day.
And why didn't you come over?
I'm so grateful to be here in this country and to have grown up here. And you're rolling your eyes, but you don't get it because it's so
I'm not rolling my eyes.
Scary to think of not having had the opportunity to do this.
I wasn't rolling my eyes.
Yes, you were.
No, I was just in the middle of saying something. That's all. And what I was going to say is, why didn't you come over in a raft like everybody else?
Because
I wasn't making light of what you were saying at all.
No, because at that time, it was early enough where we could lie ourselves out of the country.
Facebook.com/Sarat and Murciano if you want to see the picture and comment and see other people's comments. Yeah, it's a very cool thing. It's a very cool picture. And look at you. You could barely see you there, wrapped up in a blanket.
Yep. But yeah. My mom and dad, they look so cute.
Yeah. And I think, what's that in the blanket there with you? Is that one of your healthy green shakes? I think it may be.
Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see? When you're hugging with your baby.
It's only Wednesday, but you start thinking about the weekend and maybe seeing a movie. And with us to police the movies from the Chicago Police Department, the only guest who comes in here wearing a gun, Lieutenant David Haynes, at least the only one we know about.
Yeah, really.
What?
The only one who doesn't bother to hide it.
Yeah.
It's hump day. Is the weekend here yet?
It can't come soon enough.
Well,
and,
we can
you know,
now
I
start
also
looking
like,
forward to it.
I also like talking about movies. I don't know about you, but frequently a movie will be coming out and there's all this publicity, interviews, newspaper articles, stories about the movie. And I'm really not interested until I see the movie. And then I want to hear more about it. So sometimes it's okay to review a movie that people have seen, too. And the one you've selected today, Lieutenant Haynes, has been out for a while, and it'll be interesting to get your take on. A lot of folks still considering seeing Taken 3.
Right, Taken 3 starring Liam Neeson, and he's reprising his role for the third time in this trilogy, the Taken trilogy, as Brian Mills, who, I'd hate to be a member of his family because they're either getting kidnapped or killed every year.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, how many of these can they do?
Well, you know, they did. I have to say, even my son, I saw it with my son, and he said that they left it open for a fourth one if they wanted to, but I think it depends on how much money they make.
Yeah. So you saw this, and is it one of these movies that you need to see the others, the prequels?
No. It helps because you know the characters. They don't spend a whole lot of time developing the characters, but... it stands alone. It's a typical formulaic shoot 'em up and chase movie. They even got a little bit more formulaic in that the Brian Mills' wife and the mother of Kim, who's his daughter, she dies in the beginning of the film. And you know, much like movies like Bambi and Finding Nemo and Cinderella, like except with guns and psychotic killers, you know, he's the father, the single father who's protecting his daughter against the forces of evil. And
Why did you choose this movie?
The honest answer is because Selma was starting an hour and a half later, and I didn't want to stay up that late. I really want to see Selma. That's the movie that I've been waiting to see, and it just I just couldn't get in.
Wasn't playing at the right time.
It wasn't playing at the right time. Right? Yeah. I'm an old man now. So
now I read somebody's review who said that Liam Neeson should stop with these movies already. That the third one was too much. Did you think so?
You know, I did, and I'll tell you. I mean, I like the first Taken movie. I really do, and I like these movies in general, and I'm a big fan of Liam Neeson because he's one of these guys who just comes across as a good guy on film. Tom Hanks is the same way, a couple other people, and I'm a big fan of his. But this movie, I reviewed Walking Among the Tombstones a few months ago, and it is, that was actually better than this, and I thought a little bit more in the character that he was trying to develop. This movie was, like I said, very formulaic for one thing. For another thing, movies these days, they're doing this thing with the filming, and I don't understand it. I should do some research on it, where the camera is doing very fast takes and they're very bouncy, like somebody's running with the camera during a foot chase or a shooting or a car chase.
Does it make it seem more real?
I think they're trying to make it seem more real, and the problem, you know, when things are very realistic, is you really don't understand what's going on.
Also, you know, when I see
the
camera,
editing,
I've
maybe
seen that
too
effect.
Fast.
I've seen that effect, and when I, it takes me out of the movie, and I start thinking, who's running with this camera?
Right, exactly, and I mean, it does to a certain extent make it a little more realistic. But as somebody who's been in foot chases and car chases before, you know, you don't want to go there to be realistic. You want it to be over the top, unrealistic. That's what you're looking for in a movie. You're not looking to where you can't understand what's going on in the middle of a foot chase.
Wait,
you don't know where people
are going.
I got
to stop you here. Tell me about your foot chases.
Oh, I was, like, when I was younger.
Do you outrun people?
I've never
outrun you.
I've never outrun anybody except for one guy who was, you know, half a block ahead of me and turned around to laugh at me for chasing him, and then got hit by a car coming out of the alley.
Really?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Who got hit by the car?
The offender.
The guy.
Oh, okay.
So then you caught him.
Then I caught him laughing. Yeah.
Marianne, he's a lieutenant now. When
he sees
somebody running, he just gets a young officer to chase them.
I used to be a training officer, and I would always tell the young, really fit guys that got in the car with me the first day. I tell them, listen, let me tell you something. I'm the fastest runner in this car. You don't outrun me, because if I'm not there to protect you, I don't know what you're doing. So
here's the problem I have with movies like Taken 3. You go to the movie to escape, be entertained, and do you really want to go suffer? I mean, because it's a lot to go through to watch these Taken movies, isn't it?
Well, an interesting point is Liam Neeson apparently would not do this movie, the third movie, unless nobody was kidnapped in the movie.
Really?
And so nobody was actually kidnapped. You know, somebody.
And why?
His wife was killed in the first few minutes, but
he didn't say anything
really
about that.
Okay, but why?
I don't know. I just read that when I was preparing to talk about I was talking about when it came out and how well it done, and I didn't know that before, so I haven't found out why. I would assume it's because he doesn't want to, you know, proliferate kidnappings or something. I don't know.
But killing is okay.
Yeah, I guess.
do you have a clip?
I do. And it's Liam Neeson's character talking to Forrest Whitaker, who plays the sergeant in charge of the police.
All right, here you go from Taken 3.
Dotson, by now I'm sure you know who I am. You know what I'm capable of.
I am beginning to. Let me ask you something just so I'm clear. CIA operative, Division 6, Division 7, what?
All you have to know is I'm innocent.
Give me 2 days, I can prove it.
I can find out who did it.
You may very well be innocent, Mr. Mills.
But
that's the court's job to decide. It's not mine.
My job
is to bring you in and let the law take its course. That's it.
Good luck.
And is this a trailer?
No, that was actually the scene in the movie. And
I think that this movie would really bother me to see because I can't understand anybody. It's like one of those things I can't understand what they're saying.
That's right,
too muffled.
My son said the same thing. He said that he sounds like he's talking like Batman. And,
or exactly.
Well, he has an accent, and he does a lot of that whispering kind of dialogue. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Forrest Whitaker's character, and really all the police characters in the movie, were so, I don't know, stereotypical or whatever, so black and white about their job. They had absolutely no free thinking at all. They just, you know, were doing what they were always supposed to be doing, and they were easily manipulated. That kind of ticked me off,
well,
too.
Well, of course.
Yeah. And then,
you're not going to like that.
You know, the only realistic part of the movie was at the end, Forrest Whitaker's character explains how he figured out Liam Neeson was innocent pretty much right from the beginning. And even though he didn't do anything to help him, which is something that I think I would do too. Yeah, I figured it out all the way in the beginning. I knew.
Whether you did or not. All right, what is your rating on a scale of 1 to 4 donut bites, 4 being the highest, of course?
Yeah, I'm going to give it 1.5. It wasn't bad. It was just very predictable.
That's it, just 1.5 a bite there. Well,
and my wife has told me I say this too often when when I don't like something. But if you're gonna, if you like these movies and you like Liam Neeson, wait until it comes out on television because it's not worth the money.
Well, no, that's good, a good tip. Now, we always like to get a tip on a place to eat from a fine Chicago police officer such as yourself. What do you got for us this week?
You know, I've been asking around because I don't have enough places on the South Side, and a police officer named Samantha Webb, who coincidentally is also running for alderman in the 10th ward,
mm-hmm.
but she's a police officer. She gave me a place called Heine's at 10359 South Torrance. So I think you might actually need a passport to go that far south, but 103rd
well,
and Torrance.
You know, people who are who think the sun rises and sets on the north side might
well,
feel
yeah,
that way.
Right, that's right. And it does. It's, but Heine's is a great place. It's one of these and there's several of them around the city, and this is one of the better ones too. A fried fish and shrimp, and they have fried chicken. It's, you know, a little shack that has the all this fried food. They only have two tables there.
Nice.
It's mostly people who work around in the factories around there coming and getting a bag of shrimp and going and eating wherever they eat it. But it was very good, and I you know, like I said, there's about four or five of them that I love around the city. Now I have one no matter how far south I go in the city, and no matter how far north I go, I have one.
It can't,
every
it can't be nothing like no. a great greasy bag of fried
no,
shrimp.
No, yeah, it's great. That's you have to have it every once in a while.
Heine's 10359 South Torrance.
It's kind of an unfortunate name, though, isn't it? Heine's?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it is a bit bizarre. But
why?
I don't know.
I think that's a German name. I assume it's somebody. There was a picture of somebody named Heine on the
wall. Oh, okay. Well,
like Heinrich.
Then it's okay.
Yeah.
It is short. You know what? It is short for Heinrich.
Yeah.
Is it? Is this place open late?
It is. You know, I don't know. I went there for lunch. I'm sorry. I didn't get the hours. But it's open. It's open for lunch. I don't know how late it's open.
And what
open.
Did you have for lunch?
I tried the shrimp and the chicken. I had a couple of pieces of chicken and a half a pound of shrimp, and it was
good for you.
It was a half a pound.
And before we let you go here, a couple of things you want to talk about, some events we should know about this week?
Yeah, you know, I noticed this a few weeks ago. I reviewed the movie Wild, and Cheryl Strayed, the woman who wrote the book, is going to be here appearing on on Saturday, January 17th at 12:15 in the afternoon at the I have two of these, so I have to make sure I get it right. It's in Rosemont at the Stevens Convention Center at the Chicago Outdoor Show. I can't remember exactly which.
This Saturday.
Right, this Saturday at 12:15. She wrote the book about it, the Outdoor Adventure Show in Rosemont.
Okay, that's good to know.
And then down at McCormick Place this weekend, too, the Boat, RV, and Strictly Sail Show is going to be there. And this is the show where they have a big trout pond set up in McCormick Place, and the kids can come and throw
and
a line
fish.
In and catch a fish, and it's catch and release, so you just put them right back. And and they learn how to fish. So I'm taking my 8-year-old daughter to do that.
But you can't take it home and make it for dinner?
No, it's catch and release. So unless maybe if you're the last one to catch one, I don't know. But and they also teach, Bob, you might be interested in this, they teach scuba diving in a heated pool at the show. You got to bring a swimsuit, but they have everything else.
I'm a land guy. Marianne is, because she was born on an island, she likes to be in the water all the time.
Or look
salt
at
water.
It. Yeah. But it's too cold here. I can't do it here.
Yeah, she needs salt water.
The sun's got to be out, and the water's got to be salty.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's it. You got your dinner, your show, some events to look forward to, all courtesy of Lieutenant David Haynes. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Have fun.
And remember, always...
Let's be careful out here.
Did you get a good night's sleep?
Yes. Well, sort of. Are you asking me?
I'm asking you, Marianne, and I'm asking you, listening. How was your night? Poor sleep by older adults may be linked to brain changes associated with dementia, according to a new study. Researchers studied 167 men who underwent sleep tests in 1999 and passed away by 2010. This is interesting. The tests recorded sleep duration, periods of waking up, and episodes of apnea, and used some sort of system called pulse oximetry to measure oxygen saturation of their blood. I need to get in one of these sleep studies. I want to get paid to sleep. As some people think I'm I'm doing that right now. Want to hear more about this study?
Sure.
On autopsy, they found that those in the highest quarter for duration of sleep at oxygen saturation of less than 95% were almost four times as likely to have higher levels of small areas of dead tissue, which is caused by deprivation of blood supply, as those in the lowest quarter. So compared with those in the lowest quarter for duration of slow wave or deep sleep, those in the highest quarter were a third as likely to have moderate or high levels of generalized brain atrophy. Prior studies have shown an association between certain types of sleep disturbance and dementia, according to the lead author of the study, which was done in Hawaii, by the way. Boy, would I like to be in that study.
Yes.
Hey, here's some money. We want you to come to Hawaii and sleep. Okay. Anyway, the association there is poor sleep and dementia. So get your 8 hours. That's the moral of that story, okay?
I have a health note to tell you about. And this time,
please do.
This time, instead of sending you this article by Dr. Mercola.
Oh, yeah. Marianne always emails me these posts by this doctor who I can't figure out if he is the smartest physician who ever lived or a crackpot.
According to him, he says that the following four dietary and lifestyle factors are the things that can shorten your lifespan. There are four things that can shorten your lifespan. And by the way, a lot of the stuff I read on his site months later is like proven by science, or
he's pretty interesting. I'll give you that.
Yeah. All right. So the first one is excessive sugar consumption. A diet high in sugar, including processed fructose and grains, causes a host of health problems that can take years off your life, including obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. And processed foods are the primary culprit.
Yeah, we know, but we need our sugar. It makes us feel good.
Bob, that's the opposite of what I'm saying. That can shorten your life.
I know, but it's hard to give
so
it up.
Stop it. But if you gave it up, I know I'm saying this because you are sort of addicted, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
If you gave it up, then you wouldn't want it so much. All right.
Yeah, it's just the initial stages of giving it up. That's just the hard part.
It is. Number two is artificial sweeteners. They take a toll on your health. A lot of people opt for the artificial sweeteners to keep their sugar consumption in check, not realizing just how harmful the trade-off is.
Now, I did pretty well in that department. I don't drink any diet sodas. I never have it in the house anymore. Rarely ever do I have a Coke.
And by the
way, even though I always want one, especially when I have Chinese food.
By the way, recent studies have shown that artificial sweeteners stimulate appetite and increase your craving for carbs.
Yeah, forget the diet drinks. I agree.
All right, number three item that will definitely shorten your life is consuming trans fats. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is
we
not
know that.
New. Mm-hmm. All right, trans fats found in partially hydrogenated vegetable oils is thought to act as a pro-oxidant, contributing to oxidative stress.
We know
that
we
causes
know that.
Cellular damage.
And many, and, many foods we buy now, zero trans fat.
Last is low vitamin D level raises your mortality rate.
Really?
Researchers have pointed out that increasing levels of vitamin D3 among the general population could prevent chronic diseases that claim nearly 1 million lives throughout the world each year. Compelling evidence actually suggests optimizing your vitamin D can reduce your risk of death from any cause.
I'm going to go out and stand outside. There's some sun peeking through the clouds. Does
that
he say?
You would want to know.
Does he say that the best source would be sunlight, or does he advise taking a vitamin D supplement?
He says that sun exposure is the ideal way to optimize your vitamin D stores. Sensible sun exposure appears to be the best way, but if your circumstances don't allow you to access the sun, then taking a vitamin D supplement is certainly advisable. In this case, be sure to take vitamin D3, not the synthetic D2, and take vitamin K2 and magnesium in conjunction with it, as both are essential for its optimal function.
Perfect. When I go to Hawaii for that sleep study, I'll be sure to get some sunshine, too. What do you say we check in with Frank Fontana, who you know from HGTV's Design on a Dime? You hear him on the radio here Sunday between 1 and 3, has his own company, Frank Fontana Home Solutions, and he's working with the International Housewares Association as well. Glad you found time for us today, Frank.
Yeah.
I always have time for you guys.
And also, today we can say you're a hacker.
This whole hacking trend. Bob, what's your take on this?
You know, I didn't know about hacking in this context before yesterday. Explain what this is.
So it's kind of a trendy word now. Hacking has been around for a long time. We all know the big North Korea hack story with Sony. So it's been adapted in different worlds, let's say. So for instance, in the nutrition world, they call it biohacking, where they're like learning about how supplements, it's really just called research.
It's a shortcut.
It's a shortcut. It's a different way to do something you've been doing all the time. So how does this apply into the world of home solutions and DIY? So I did some research and I found this cool article from House Beautiful, and it had a really cool home hack solutions, DIY solutions. And I wanted to share this with you guys because I thought you guys would be perfect for this, because I'm staring at the stack of papers behind Bob's left shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Welcome to my world. That
I was going
to
say,
multiply that 400 times, and that is in every area of the house where Bob is.
I have piles. I accumulate things.
And you know what's in that stack right there?
I do. Yeah. I do.
So let's for the listening audience.
We should test him, Frank.
We should.
I don't lose things.
It's 4 inches tall, though, the stack.
Yeah, this is a little one.
That's a little stack.
That is a little one.
So on this list of hacks for the home here, so I think where that could apply for Bob is this idea for a laundry dresser. Is your laundry load the same way? You just stack it all up?
We have baskets in our closets.
Yeah, we actually had a closet maker.
Oh, so like a professional closet.
Yeah, 15 years ago, designed the closet.
So it's cool. You just throw your dry cleaning in one basket, laundry in another basket.
Right.
So that works for us.
So if you can't afford that, there's this great hack idea to create your own laundry dresser using an old shelving unit for bookshelves, and you put in little ledges where you take your laundry baskets, label them like socks, undies, pants. That way, when you're going to sort your laundry, everything's kind of organized.
But yeah, that's a good idea.
Why do you want to separate the socks from, the end? I mean, aren't you just going to wash them all together?
I do a lot of laundry at my house because my wife is tending to our little 9-month-old.
Show off.
Yeah. Well, trust me, it's not like I want to. but what I find is I'm the guy who throws it all into one load. And then I spend countless hours sorting my socks from my undies and all that other stuff.
So this is a way for you to wash them separately or for you to sort them separately?
Both. Like, you could use them for both.
So, yeah, it makes it easier once Frank gets to the washing machine.
Right.
Yeah, he knows.
Bob, do not speak at all like an authority on laundry.
I used to do laundry.
Because I don't think you have ever done laundry.
I used to do it before we met. I did.
As a bachelor, right?
I did.
You had no choice at that.
Well, I have a hard time picturing that.
There was a brief time in my life where I did.
He does it well. He said he did it.
But this is a good idea and inexpensive.
Totally. And you could repurpose an old shelving unit, one of those little box shelving units, or you get one cheap at IKEA and do this. The next one I really like is this hanging phone charger made from an old Johnson & Johnson's bottle.
Okay, that is brilliant.
Totally brilliant.
It's brilliant because how many times do you want to charge your phone and then the outlet is too high? And then your phone is just dangling there.
Right, exactly.
Right.
So this idea, you need a knife or scissors, and you create, picture a 5-inch tall bottle that's maybe an inch thick, and you would cut a basket out of it, leaving a backing, and then a little hole where you can actually hook it onto the charger base itself, and then put your phone in this little caddy.
We're going to have to post this
You definitely should post this.
Because people can see the pictures of what you're talking about.
Yeah, and in the picture it's a Johnson's baby lotion bottle that's converted.
Converted, it actually lets your phone sit in this little basket.
Right. And I think to address Bob's clutter, we should talk about the staircase bookshelves. This is number 6 on the list.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of cool because you could use old you know, like the tops of the stairs,
mm-hmm.
the flat part. And a lot of times you can buy these pre-cut and they're beveled and they're clean. You get them at the hardware store really inexpensively, cheaper than actually most would. And then you add some inexpensive corbels to use them to hold the shelves up. And then underneath it, you could see they use a radiator grate to use as
a
pin board.
Cool.
So it's kind of cool. It's inexpensive. Paint it any color.
What you're showing us are things that you can do in your house that don't require you buying some real expensive thing.
Exactly. And that's the whole hack point of this.
That's the hack point? Okay.
Is getting into something, reinventing, repurposing. Listen, I've been hacking way before hacking was cool.
Before it was even used.
Our word was repurpose. You know, and
that's boring.
It's boring.
No.
Hacking is so cool.
Hacking is cool. Yeah.
A hack that I love, and I could totally see Bob doing this, is the slide away printer. That's number 7 on our list here.
Yeah.
And that one, you take a bottom drawer out of your dresser, because printers are bulky, they're ugly. I mean, do you guys have a printer at home?
Let me just imagine.
It sits on a top of a desk somewhere or a drawer. Well, this idea actually converts a drawer front. You use a little chain and a hinge, a piano hinge. You take the door off, because most of those doors just pop off. I don't know if you know that. You can just unscrew them.
Unless they're dovetail.
Somebody knows her woodworking.
I'm going to go out for a walk. Call me when you guys are done.
So this one, that you hide the printer away into the drawer, so it looks like you're just kind of, you know, doing your thing and have a dresser there. And when you need it, you slide it open, it pops open, it's all hidden. So that's a cool one. You know?
Can we go back over something we skipped over? Because I'm thinking that everybody has a big mess in some area of the house when you walk in, either kitchen table or a counter, because keys, cards, change, all sorts of stuff gets dumped out of your pockets. And this leather catch-all seems to me to be a very easy, simple, cheap idea.
It really is. And I tend to, because I'm in the biz, but maybe your wife does, or you have random pieces of leather fabric or like an old coat that you have laying around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this idea takes like you could go to a Joann's Fabric, let's say, and they have these little hole puncher type of things, and you know, you pop in, and it's like a ring grommet, they call it, a grommet.
Mm-hmm.
And they it's a really easy thing. It's one shot, boom, and you take the four corners of a piece, let's just say 4 inches by 4 inches, and it creates a little like a catch-all, a little kind of cup out of this piece of leather. It looks like an ashtray, and that looks like a firmer piece of leather.
Yeah. The only problem would be having, like, in our case, Bob would have 25 of those laying around.
Yeah. Right. Well, then I'd need a catch-all.
You'd take the whole jacket, not a piece of the jacket.
I'd need a catch-all for the catch-alls.
Right. Which is why when we come back from our break, I want to talk to you about therapy for people like us. Because the way we deal with it is not great. I mean, Bob's things spread like a cancer all throughout whatever area he's in.
Causes a lot of tension in the home.
Yeah, and then I am, I'm watching this grow everywhere I am, and then suddenly, like, I don't handle it right, because instead of, you know, saying, because I don't want to always be saying, move that. So I wait till it builds up until I feel like I'm going to jump out a window.
Well, the idea is to get a system so that it doesn't just keep building up.
We'll do that. When we come back, we'll do a system.
You have a system?
Yeah, we'll turn on the design therapy hat.
All right.
Okay.
And we'll solve this problem.
That and more solutions to make your life easier. Some common home problems with super simple do-it-yourself fixes. Frank Fontana after that. Back to it with Frank Fontana. Sponsored by Euro Furniture, we're talking about some simple solutions for household problems and a little design therapy.
I need to get out there to Euro Furniture.
I've been there, guys.
Telling me about it, and he, like, it sounds awesome.
It is seriously insane. It's a family-owned business for generations.
We like those.
And they're two levels, huge warehouse, and it literally ranges from modern Italian furniture all the way to rustic, you know, stuff made here in America, and it's a fantastic store. Great guys who own it, too.
Now, one of these tips that I see on your list here, Frank, this is so simple, it's ridiculous, but I think it could help a lot of people. It's about painting some keys.
Yeah. How often do you sit there scrambling for your keys, especially in this freezing weather, when you're outside and you're dangling your keychain and your hands are frozen, you can't get it in the door, and it's like one of those horror movies where time slows down, and you're like, come on, I'm freezing. Well, right. Color coding your keys, but creatively doing it with like sparkle and glitter, and here's something you can get your kids involved with. You get a couple of, little small cans of paint. You could dip them in there, have them sprinkle on a little glitter and whatnot, and just, coordinate your keys appropriately. So
not the part that goes in the keyhole,
but the bigger part, the head of the key.
The head of the key, yeah. I love that because keys look the same.
Simple, stupid hack.
You can do it with nail polish, right?
You could do it with nail polish. You could do it with latex paint and then put some like a lacquer over it. It depends. I got a garage full of crap like that. So for me, I could I could give you a glazed finish with a Tuscan flair to it if you want it on your key.
I'm still trying to get Bob to give me a key to the house. He will not.
Marianne's on probation. We'll see.
She
about
is.
That.
All right. Let's talk about this.
And before we get to the therapy that we need, tell us really quickly about this rolling vanity. Because I think that anybody who has a teenage daughter, this is a perfect thing.
Totally. So IKEA sells these really inexpensive they're not even vanities. They're like these little rolling carts that have three shelves to them. They're like a cheap plastic, but they serve their purpose for whatnot in the office. But most teenage girls have stuff, cosmetic stuff, blow dryers, irons pouring out of their drawers. And I think what needs to happen is a little bit of further organization, more space. So this rolling cart is really cool, and you can actually get the cart from IKEA, and then you label it like, face product, nails, hair, and then it just gives you another option to sort your stuff. And then on the side there,
it rolls. You can just put it away somewhere.
And yet, if you could, we'll post these pictures on your Bob and Marianne Facebook page, I think. And then there's this little side thing they used, little zip ties to tie on a kitchen, utensil holder, the circular utensil that holds all of the brushes and all that stuff. So it's just another way, another hack to organize the bathroom a little better.
Now, it was music to my ears to hear that your garage might be messed up. So you may preach all this organization, but you have these problems too, don't you?
I'm human, Bob.
I thought so. Human, I suspected that.
So then what is it that you can say to Bob and me that would help us in this in our messy house?
Well, I guess the answer to your question, Bob, real quick, is acceptance is how I cope and my wife copes, because, there's life that happens around all these things. Mm-hmm. So you guys are in the world of media. Bob's got to do tons of research for what he does.
Well, what do you mean, Bob? Only Bob?
No, I mean, because it sounds like you're busy picking up the pieces of Bob's research.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
I do my research online.
Because you're smart. You do technology. He's old school, though.
He's old school.
We work on different things and in different ways, and that's a good thing.
So would you ever consider moving into this?
Would I ever consider moving
into the future?
Moving out? Yeah, I thought about it many times, Frank.
It usually fixes things,
Usually during the show.
Little hotel stay for a couple weeks.
Make your messes there.
Heartbreak hotel.
No, but seriously, I think, have you considered making hacks at home for you to organize a little
bit? I think about this all the time, and to be quite serious about this is my ongoing problem year after year. This is what bothers me the most. This is what I wrestle with all the time. This is the one thing, but it's true. This is the one thing I regret that I haven't been able to fix in my life. And it is true. And whenever I see a sterile desk or a room that is perfectly clean and neat, I breathe easier.
You
because
do.
I want to be in that environment, and I've not been able to do that.
Tell me what you think of this solution that I have been able to come up with, because I think yours is probably better, but mine is more drastic. When Bob's not looking, I gather piles of crap and throw it away.
Yeah.
No, because I know what everything, where everything is. I don't lose things, so I know what's in the piles.
I throw things away.
So let's start with a basic thing here. So the common principle here is, in general, as human beings, we move towards pleasure away from pain. Mm-hmm. So what you're telling me, though, is this is not painful enough for you to move towards pleasure. And pleasure would be that sterile environment you talk of.
Well, it is painful, though.
So why wouldn't you spend time to, if you like sifting through newspapers? That seems to be a nostalgic thing for you, right?
Well, I clip things and I save little things. And
do you clip coupons by hand?
No, I put in articles away that I may want to write about in the future, or ideas on a little piece of paper. But I see, but I'm paralyzed by the piles of stuff.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a slight tinge of a hoarding disorder.
He does. I say that all the
time. It's not as bad as it used to be.
It is hoarding. No. He's a hoarder.
So what, again, I think we kind of touched on this at some point. What emotionally happened to you, Bob?
Oh, no.
That you feel the need to hold on to possessions?
Shall I lie down here on the couch?
Please do, yes.
And by the way, watch for me on the WGN-TV News some night.
The man's questions.
When they come into a place where there's like 100 cats and old newspapers.
Yeah. I'll be there. I saved him from a
lot. I don't know. I really don't. I probably some yearning for simpler times.
Yeah, probably. Because I see a sincere distress in your face when you talk about it.
Some sort of nostalgic desire. Yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah, to move back in time a little bit.
Maybe, but I don't think I have that as much as I used to. And in fact, I used to be really bad about newspapers, and now I do throw those out now.
Yeah, because when we first got married, like, say we went on a week-long vacation, Bob would save 4 newspapers from each day of that week and then read the old news when he got back.
Well, you know what it is,
before
Frank?
Before reading the
current I'll tell you what it is, Dr. Fontana.
Yes, please.
It's the fear of missing something in the context of the job, because I've always been on the air in some form.
FMO.
But I beg your pardon? Don't call me that. What?
It's a fear of missing out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So but let me ask you a question. There's like a website called Drudge Report that gets the news before the news gets it.
Right.
And there's all these like high-tech sites and stuff. Why wouldn't you just pipe into the news lines and get the news before everybody else gets it?
If you're just talking about a newspaper, if you don't read the newspaper completely front to back, you're going to miss some things. If you go online, you're going to go to stories you are interested in.
So
if you go
if
through
you
the newspaper,
so
you
what?
Will come across stories you didn't think you were interested in, but you're going to know about it. You're going to know a little about a lot of different things because you go through the whole thing.
Right.
See what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. So and what does it do for your life that you know a little tiny bit more than say Frank or I do?
Well, this is who cares? Well, no. A shrink once asked me this question. Well, so what if you miss this? So what if you miss something? And I said, yeah, really. And then for a day, I didn't read the paper, and I started smoking. Started smoking cigarettes. No, we don't have time for all my problems. I'm sorry.
Frank,
we never come back again. Get the answer to this.
He does
a fantastic way of looting, veering us off.
He takes really long to get to it in the first place. So that there's
I'm
only
learning
2 minutes
his tactics.
Left.
Come back,
but
next year we'll get it.
Come back again, Frank, or perhaps your listeners will have ideas, and I'll listen in Sunday between 1 and 3 here on WGN. Thank you.
Marianne's Celebrity Report to the Nation is on the air.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Yes, it is. Into the celebrity newsroom we go, and we welcome the new sponsor to the Celebrity Report, Hollywood Casino, Aurora and Joliet. And let me adjust the sign behind you, Marianne, behind your desk, that indicates you're brought to you by Hollywood Casino, Aurora and Joliet.
Okay, yeah, the flickering neon sign, right?
That's nice.
I like that. Okay, we start with Bill Cosby today. The woman claiming that Bill Cosby drugged and sexually assaulted her at the Playboy Mansion just over 6 years ago is filing criminal charges. Mm-hmm. She's a model, Chloe Goines, and her attorney, Spencer Coovin, are heading to L.A. Police Department headquarters right now, claiming she is the victim of sexual assault at the hands of Cosby. You know, that's been a real problem in terms of anybody filing these kinds of charges because of the statute of limitations running out.
I thought he wasn't, he couldn't be tried for
that. This occurred about 6 years ago, all right? So what's unclear is that the alleged incident occurred more than 6 years ago, and in California, the statute of limitations for every sexual assault except rape is 6 years. So we don't know right now if she is alleging rape.
We'll find out soon enough.
Maybe, since that's the only way that she would be able to have a legal leg to stand on.
Right.
And Massachusetts is the latest to cancel a performance by Bill Cosby at the Hanover Theater, February 6th. Cosby's promoter, actually, is the one who pulled the plug, and the president of the theater says that they are all relieved about this decision because when Cosby performed recently in Canada, there were protesters both inside and outside the shows. It's a big headache for everyone.
Yeah, and I think it would grow even larger as the shows progressed.
Remember yesterday we did the story of Eminem taking the time to visit a mm-hmm. terminally ill fan.
Mm-hmm.
That terminally ill fan died 24 hours after getting a chance to meet Eminem. His name was Gage Garmo, 17 years old. He was battling a rare type of bone cancer. And he died a day after Eminem arranged this secret visit to his home on Sunday and spent about an hour talking and hanging out with him.
Yeah, I saw that. That's sad. But at least he got to visit with him.
I know. So sad. And so what a generous thing for Eminem to do. James Cameron says Avatar 2 is delayed until 2017. You know that he plans to film the highly anticipated sequels all at one time and then release the three films over consecutive years. Did you know that?
Well, he did one, so he's going to shoot two more at the same time? Is that it?
I believe it's three more. The sequels are such a complex job that he's delaying it. And the release is now going to be 2017. The first one had been due in late 2016, but he said the writing process had proved to be very involved and that the initial target date was probably too ambitious. So we'll be waiting for that. I don't know if you've been seeing these pictures of Bruce Jenner.
I try not to look at pictures of Bruce Jenner.
On the cover of Out of Touch magazine. And the headline is Bruce's Story, My Life as a Woman. And then there's this huge picture.
It's what?
Yeah. Bruce's Story, My Life as a Woman.
And what publication is that?
This is In Touch magazine. And Chris, his ex-wife, is saying how outraged she is at In Touch for photoshopping a picture of Bruce Jenner on the cover with all the fixings of a woman.
Yeah, he looks strange enough, but they've made him look even more bizarre.
Yeah, he looks like it's probably his head on the body of a woman. The cover is shocking. Bruce has never said that he's going down that road to change his sex, but the cover sure reads that way. And Chris is telling her friends it's just mean to do, whether or not it's true, which, by the way, is a very interesting thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Everybody forgets that the guy was a great Olympic athlete, right?
Yep, that's how he became famous. Gwyneth Paltrow was on Howard Stern this morning, and she was talking about her new movie, Mordecai. She was a guest there, and she was more revealing than she has ever been about Chris Martin, her ex,
mm-hmm.
which she consciously uncoupled with last year. And who he dates, namely Jennifer Lawrence, and also about ex-boyfriends Ben Affleck and Brad Pitt. Very interesting stuff. And basically, Gwyneth Paltrow is saying that she doesn't, you know, whoever Chris Martin dates is totally his business, as long as she believes that it's his decision and that she believes that he loves the kids so much that he wouldn't be with someone who wasn't great.
You know,
I've
forgotten that Gwyneth Paltrow was with Brad Pitt and Ben Affleck.
Yes, she says about Brad Pitt, I didn't think about it at the time, but I'm sure it was a good thing for my career. And she said, I definitely fell in love with him. And then that relationship, as we know, fizzled out. And then she dated Ben Affleck. And she says she still does hang out with Ben Affleck. And she loves his wife.
Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, I wonder how she feels about Gwyneth hanging around.
She hung out with Gwyneth for a girls' night out recently. And at the Golden Globes, well, this is hard to believe, Lena Dunham was mistaken for Liza Minnelli. by E! News.
Really?
Yeah. Now, Lena Dunham is 28 years old. Liza Minnelli is 68 years old. So I don't know how that could have possibly happened, but it did.
And do we know? Who was it? Isn't that Billy Bush or somebody? Had to be some reporter who doesn't cover those events often.
They're not really saying, but just she was mistaken for her. That's just funny.
I once got into a fight with her manager.
Liza Minnelli's manager?
Yeah.
Not Liza Minnelli?
No, no. We were... Did I tell this story? I think I did. She was at the Chicago Theater. They had a series called Loop Alive one winter, and she was performing there. This had to be in... I was at Channel 2, so I think it was the early 80s. And I was interviewing her, and I think the manager thought the interview was going on too long. And he... but instead of giving me a signal or something, I think he just walked in on the interview, and he was very rude.
He just started talking?
Yeah.
It was a radio interview?
No, it was a TV
interview.
It was TV.
So he was on camera?
I think he just walked in front of the camera. And I said, what are you doing? And it wasn't like they said, we're only going to give you 10 minutes and I took 30 minutes. It wasn't anything like that.
Did you use that part of the interview where he walks in?
I don't remember, but knowing me, I did, probably.
Knowing you, you did.
I do. I don't know what happened to that clip. I do have the clip of Frank Sinatra yelling at me, though. Well, he didn't really yell at me. It's somewhere in that mess we were talking to Frank Fontana about. I have the video of backstage at, I think it was Eric Crown McCormick Place. And people said, well, Frank Sinatra will be coming backstage here afterwards, and your camera can be here, but that's it. Meaning they didn't want anybody
just
to accost
him.
Just
your camera by itself?
Well, I think they meant he's not doing any interviews. And so Frank walks right by our camera. It was Channel 2. He walked right by our camera, and I thought, well, he kind of looks like he's in a mood to talk, so I'll throw something at him. And I couldn't think of anything, so at the last minute I just said something innocuous like... compare today's music to the music when you first hit it big. So I said something like that. It wasn't any kind of offensive question or anything. And he just kind of stared at me. And then one of his goons, somebody around him, said something to me. I think the guy knew me because he said, Bob Surratt, you should know better. And what?
Why?
What did I do?
It should be a compliment. You're a reporter and you asked the question.
I didn't like ask him where if he was packing heat. So anyway, I have that clip too. When we open up the Bob Surratt Museum, that'll be one of the exhibits. I think that'll be most popular.
Why don't we have celebrities? Frank celebrities move in with us for a weekend.
Celebrities that turned on me. Have who move? Oh, Frank Fontana move
Let's
in with
Frank
us.
Let's have Frank Fontana move in with us for a weekend.
We don't need him to help us build our YouTube channel, do we? We can do that.
No, we need him to give us some
to find all the tapes
therapy.
Yeah, so we can organize the clips.
We can figure out how you can get rid of all your junk.
All right, that's the celebrity report to the nation. Let's open up the mailbox after this. I just got a message to you. Let's check on some of your messages now. The Surratt and Marciano mailbox is on the air. Emails, texts, Facebook comments, virtual letters from virtually anyone, and an occasional old-fashioned trail mail, too. I'd like to acknowledge this email from Tim Tyler. We were talking about a restaurant with Lieutenant David Haynes today, Heine's Shrimp House, and we were wondering about the hours. And Tim says Heine's over there on South Torrance Avenue is... definitely open late, Monday through Thursday, or Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to midnight. And then Sunday, I think they're open until also 11 a.m. to midnight. So there you go. Open till midnight tonight. Now, Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to midnight. Sunday, 11 a.m. to midnight. Does that mean they're not open on Friday and Saturday? That couldn't be. Well, now we're more confused than ever. Also, there was a text about this place. You see that?
The one that says the hours, Heine's 10:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, open till 11:30 p.m.
Okay, that clears it up.
Best damn chicken around.
Yeah. Yeah. From 773, the Torrance location is the original of all the Heinies, or McCarthy's, as the other locations are known by. Heinies is the nickname of the original owner, Heinie McCarthy, from South Chicago. Hot sauce is a must-have. See? We learned something today.
Okay. And 630 says, I stream from my iPhone. This is about the Barry Manilow contest. With the delay, can we make it the 27th caller to give us a chance?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Let's do that tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow. Or we'll make it... We won't make it the first call or the seventh call. We'll get up there and give you a better chance. Okay, it's a deal.
Yeah, I think that's good. 847 says, I grew up in Budlong Woods on Balmoral.
Balmoral.
Balmoral, sorry. Went to Jameson and Mather. Fun. Love pickles.
Oh, yeah. The Budlong Pickle Shop will be opening up later this year there.
And here's from 269. Picking pickles is the worst job in the world. The vines and pickles have spines. It's hot, wet, buggy, and there can be snakes. Thank those who pick pickles. Now, is this a joke? Because aren't pickles cucumbers?
Yeah.
So people don't pick pickles.
Peter Piper did. He picked a pack.
No, he picked a pack of pickled peppers.
Oh. Oh, you're right.
Stop.
Never mind.
Anyway, that might be a joke. I don't know. 414 wants to know if they can guess the mystery name already. I mean, and I'm asking because can people guess on text?
Well, okay, number one.
Somebody made a guess, by the way, 815. Do you want me to say what the guess is?
No.
We don't even have the name in there.
Because number one, we do not have the name in the safe yet. We'll do that next week. And number two, are we going to accept guesses via Facebook or text?
It's got to be
phone. I think the thing I like about this contest will be you don't have to be the first caller. You don't have to be the 27th caller. It's not about that. It's just about having the right name. So everybody will have a fair, equal chance in this contest. It won't be about getting through necessarily because there will be times when we won't be playing the contest per se, playing the Serrata Murciano Mystery Name Contest, and then we will still take calls on other things, and you can do a by the way and make your guess while you're on the line with us. More on that next week.
Yes. 214 says, my doctor supplements D3, you know, that's vitamin D3, because in Chicago we don't get enough sun most of the year. It's not strong enough.
Mm-hmm. True.
And 847 says, nothing shortens your life more than eating Chinese food.
No, wait a minute. Now you've gone too far.
That's not my opinion, Bob. I'm just reading the text. And, it's so funny. We
MSG is a preservative, so I think you'll live longer and look better the more MSG.
Doubt it strongly. 847 says, hi, Bob and Marianne. I so get it. I'm just like Bob with my stuff, and it drives my husband crazy. Can't wait to hear what else Frank has to say. And
tonight may be the night that I start burrowing away at those piles.
Another one from 847.
I always think tonight will be the night.
Do what I do. Scan articles and notes into your computer for future reference. Now, that would never happen. And 815 also says, get a scanner and save all of your articles in the computer.
No, I think what it is, I just have to throw out a bunch of stuff and then have better systems for and better filing systems for things that I want to hang on to.
No, that's not. That isn't going to
What's the answer then?
What's the answer?
Yeah.
You have to stop going through stuff. If you didn't go through it,
I don't.
Throw it away.
I'm really not. This is just stuff that's been accumulating my whole life.
That is not true.
Yeah, most of the stuff, the new stuff, is just current business, like bills and so forth.
All right.
I just need a place for it. Everything in its place and a place for everything. That's all you need.
Here's a question from 815. Does Bob blame his clutter on his parents, too?
I never thought about that.
Yeah, that's one more thing you could blame on them.
Let me think about that.
Yeah, they made you messy.
I'll connect that.
Yeah, they made you messy. 847 says, could you please tell this guest, talking about Frank Fontana, that his man card will be revoked if he calls his underwear undies one more time?
Yeah, good point. Thank you very much. Anything else in the mailbox?
a lot, but I think we're running out of time, aren't we?
Well, we'll do more tomorrow. Thank you, as always. Bill and Wendy, coming up right around the corner. Well, we've learned a lot about pickles today, haven't we?
Yes, we have. A lot of people are texting saying that cucumbers are not pickles. Well, who knew? I didn't know.
I knew that.
You knew that?
Yes.
They look smaller. Like little cucumbers.
Yep, when their seeds are smaller. But I prefer them.
Bill
you
and Wendy, if you
them
get
to what?
If you cucumbers. Get if you get hungry,
mm-hmm.
there's a bag of jelly beans in the garbage.
Oh.
Okay,
that
well, garbage
enticing.
Pick.
Yeah.
Bob threw them away in a fit of anger I said, Bob, seriously? You've been eating jelly beans all day?
I had a hunger attack,
they're
and
delicious.
They were here leftover from yesterday.
He's been eating for 3 hours. He's been eating jelly beans.
The woman from Candiality was here yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And so this is a leftover.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right.
Marianne, if you'd let him have what he wants once
he
in
does.
A while,
he
maybe
does.
He wouldn't purge.
Garbage
or binge,
flavored
rather.
Jelly beans.
Binge.
Yeah,
yeah not
you,
purge.
You're hungry and you just will get anything close to you to
yeah.
eat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I nibble on Bill's arm every once in a while, about 3:30.
So
thanks for listening. See you tomorrow at noon.
Oh, wait. Happy Independence Day to you, Marianne.
Oh, yeah, that was a great
Happy
story.
Independence
Thank you.
Day.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Thank you very much. January 14th.
Yeah.
Thank
That's
you.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Astro's forces are in the hallway now looking for her.
And the traditional way to celebrate is to throw your husband's jelly beans in the garbage. If people don't know, that's the way it's celebrated.
Yeah. But later on tonight, we'll have a Cuba Libre.
Oh, I hope that gets better soon.
Is that like Nacho Libre? You get nachos tonight, Bob.
Wow.
No Velveeta cheese in a Cuba Libre. It's just rum and Coke.
Oh, I'm for that.
Now I'm not upset about the jelly beans.
All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.